Welcome to Back to the Basics with Pastor Jason McClendon. This program is sponsored by Crossroads Christian Fellowship, a non-denominational, conservative, and evangelical church focusing on returning to the mindset of believers in the New Testament church. The acronym BASICS, in the name of the program, stands for Believing and Sharing in Christ's Salvation. We are disciples making disciples who make disciples. And now, here is the message.
All right, well, good morning once again, and once again, welcome to Crossroads Christian Fellowship. So, last week we spoke about the baptism of Jesus and about why he needed to be baptized and about the incredible way in which he started his ministry with the presentation of the entire Holy Trinity right there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all right there together to be seen by everyone. And then shortly after his baptism, which is what we'll talk about today, Jesus went out into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and he was tempted by Satan. The first reading for today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. "All of this I give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. That's the reading from Matthew. And the second reading is very simple. It's Mark 1, 12 to 13. And it says, "At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and the angels attended him." That's all it talks about, that entire temptation in 40 days, just the two verses. And as a side note, I will say that there are so many people who believe that Matthew and Luke essentially copied their gospels from Mark. Especially when we see examples like this, I wonder how people can get that idea, because the details in Matthew and Luke, in this case at least, are much more than it is in Mark. Mark is a very, very basic, here's just a very quick synopsis, and Matthew and Luke go into much more detail about what happened. Luke 4, 1 through 13 says pretty much the same thing that it says, a little bit different verbiage, but pretty much the same details that it had in Matthew. So I'm not going to read all that, except to say that it says, "Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry." But they still bring, between Matthew and Luke, still bring the same temptations. And I'll come back to why I wanted to describe that one verse in just a minute. So this narrative speaks specifically about the tempting of Jesus. Now you might think that because Jesus is God, he can't actually be tempted. And of course the divine side of Jesus can't be tempted. God can't be tempted. But we have to remember that Jesus is fully God and fully human. And the human side of Jesus absolutely can be tempted. If Jesus had not been able to be tempted by sin, then it wouldn't have been such a big deal that he was perfect and never sinned. But the point is that he was perfect. Even though he had the capacity to sin, because he was also fully human. Now, some people will disagree with me there. They will say that Jesus did not have the capacity to sin. But I think he had to have that capacity. He had to willfully choose to remain faithful and sinless his entire life. It had to be a choice. Because if it wasn't a choice, then his sacrifice as a perfect, sinless person would have meant nothing at all. Because if he was always perfect and never had the opportunity to not be perfect, then there was no struggle for him. He wasn't truly representing mankind. If he was totally without the capacity to sin and never had to struggle, there was no way that he could be our representative at the cross. But he was. Remember, at Jesus' baptism, the Father spoke and he said he was well pleased with Jesus. What was it he was well pleased about? At least one of the things I think that he would have been well pleased with Jesus about was the fact that Jesus had remained sinless, which clearly indicates that Jesus had the choice to sin, and he didn't. This narrative indicates that Jesus had that choice. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all to be tempted if somebody has no capacity to sin. How can you tempt somebody for something that they might not actually have any ability to do? None whatsoever. Personally, I believe that Satan saw this as his last opportunity to get the big win. If he could convince Jesus to sin, then the war with God, so to speak, would have been over. And although we might consider the days immediately preceding the actual crucifixion to be the hardest days of Jesus' life, where he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweating drops of blood, that was certainly very difficult. But I think that these events, this 40 days of fasting and the temptation together, could have been just as hard, or maybe even harder. Because out of the two events, all of the events in Jesus' life, these two, I believe, were the hardest. This temptation and the days leading up to the crucifixion itself. Now remember, not everything that Jesus did was recorded. So there may have been other times when he was tempted as well, but not like this. And that's why this story, this narrative, made it into the Bible. The Matthew narrative says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into bread. Mark says he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And Luke says, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. So it doesn't appear that Jesus fasted for 40 days and then was tempted a little while after that. It's much more likely that Satan started tempting Jesus almost as soon as he got into the wilderness and started on this spiritual journey. Part of that was the fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But what else was Satan doing during that period of time? We don't know. It's not recorded, which means it's really not that important. Only a handful of temptations are actually recorded here, and that might be because these particular temptations are also the ones that we as human beings face on a regular basis. Maybe not individually, but certainly corporately as humankind. And this gives us some instruction about how we can defend against any temptations we have by doing so in the same manner that Jesus did. These particular three temptations that were recorded are turning stones into bread, testing God, and bowing down and worshiping Satan in order to get more power. But that last one, bowing down and worshiping Satan, really means turning your back on God and putting anything else in front of God to achieve more power, more wealth, more glory. Jesus was hungry when he was tempted to turn the stone into bread. Now, we know that he could have done it. He performed many miracles. He had the ability. But he had to get through these temptations. Turning the stone into bread to satisfy his immediate hunger would not have done any good in the long run. This temptation really is something that today we might call instant gratification. A temptation that we're very familiar with in our world today. In our modern world of technology, it seems that instant gratification is the norm, at least compared to the way that we lived just a few short years ago. We can order from Amazon Prime and we can literally have some things delivered the same day. We can order food and have it delivered, in many cases, faster than we could even cook it ourselves. And we can go to the TV and we can select from a long list of movies or TV shows, pretty much whatever we want to watch. And we don't even have to go to the TV anymore. We have a remote that we can sit on the couch and simply click the buttons of to use. We carry around smartphones, and not only can we look up any information we want on that smartphone connected to the internet, but anyone can reach us at pretty much any time, and people get annoyed if you don't immediately answer the phone when they call. We are so used to this instant gratification that it is simply the norm for us today. Now, as technology has gotten better, our lives have also gotten better in some ways. And for some things, instant gratification is okay. It's okay to have those desires met, but not for everything. From a psychological standpoint, when we get used to instant gratification, we begin to allow our impulses to take over and allow our impulses to control our lives because we get so used to doing that. And we begin to focus our attention on things that we desire rather than things that we need. And a lot of these things that we desire are unhealthy for us. The instant gratification for food has led our society into eating fast foods on a regular basis that are generally unhealthy for us. The instant gratification of receiving a like on a Facebook post or other social media keeps people focused on their phones instead of engaging with other people in real life. The instant gratification of enjoying fantasies on TV and in the movies keeps people from living real life and instead going back and experiencing that fantasy life in the TV screen. And all of this can lead to destructive outcomes in our health, in our finances, and just generally in our lives. And like Jesus, when we recognize temptation on instant gratification, we need to answer by recognizing that we don't need instant gratification. What we need is to be focused on living in accordance with the Word of God. So at the end of the day, it is okay to have instant gratification in some cases, but we need to ensure that that doesn't take away from reality or from being healthy or from keeping us from growing in our spiritual lives. When Satan tempted Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle, the top of the temple, that would have been right into a spot where a lot of people were around and a lot of people would have seen it. And the rescue by the angels at the last moment, this would have been a spectacle. And it would have been about seeking glory for himself as a man rather than glory for God. Now, yes, God would have sent the angels to rescue Jesus, but it wasn't time for miracles yet. There was a plan, and Jesus needed to follow the plan, and he knew that because the plan was God's plan, and the plan was right. And if Jesus had given in to that temptation and simply thrown him down from the temple, then people would have immediately started worshiping him and taking away from the focus of what he was actually there to do. He wasn't ready for that worship yet. And had that happened, he most likely would have never gotten to the point where he would have been crucified. That sort of demonstration of power might have done more harm than good at that time. I don't know. But God does. And Jesus did. And that's why he didn't jump from the pinnacle. The last temptation we have here was for Jesus to bow down to Satan and to be given authority over all of the world and all of the kingdoms and all of the resources and wealth that came with that. Now, there are two primary considerations here. The first one is that sometimes Satan is referred to as the prince of the world. He does have some authority and power here on this earth. But he did not have the power and authority to give that to Jesus, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords already. But the temptation that is here is the same one that many people experience. The temptation to become powerful and mighty. And in our modern world, one of the methods to do this is to become rich, because with wealth often comes power. And with wealth comes the ability to afford to do things that cost a lot of money, like financing election campaigns. Now, please note, I'm not saying it's a sin to be rich. I'm saying that if it is anything that overshadows putting God first, it is sin. And more often than not, when people focus on becoming rich and focus on money, that becomes the primary thing that takes their attention, and it pulls that away from God. And that is a sin. So if you have a large income and you're using that to build the kingdom of God, that's okay. It is biblical. But if you have a large income and you're using that to build your own kingdom, then that is not of God, and that is not okay. Now, these three temptations, I already said, are ones that we also face: instant gratification, self-glory, and power. Wealth equals the power. But Jesus gave us the way to defend against these temptations. We simply need to trust in God and to do our best to follow His will, not our own will. Now, I want to talk about the fasting just for a minute, because some people look at this and they say fasting for 40 days, that's impossible. The human being will die after about 3 weeks of not having food. We know this. Science tells us this. Now, although the text only speaks of fasting itself, this would have actually been both fasting and a lot of prayer, because fasting and prayer go hand in hand, especially the way they practiced it at that time. This is a spiritual discipline that in actuality we should all be practicing. And again, some people will say it was impossible for Jesus to have done this. Now, it is highly unusual for people to do this today. But even today, it is not impossible. There are a lot of places who do this. There are churches who set out to do 40-day fasts, and they have, not every member of the church often does it, usually does it, but a group of members of the church will do it, and the entire church will pray about that and over them while they're going through this fasting period, and they successfully fast for 40 days. There are clinics you can go to, and you can set up a program to build up to being able to fast for 40 days and then do it under direct medical care. But most interestingly enough, just this year, NFL Super Bowl champion Russell Okung, you may have heard of him, who played for the Carolina Panthers and the Los Angeles Chargers, he publicly shared his journey of a 40-day fast that he did this year. He lost 100 pounds doing this. But he did it and shared his journey through social media, where the only thing he did was drink water for 40 days. Which is how they would have done it. It's how Jesus would have done it, by drinking just water for 40 days. During an interview, Okung said, the experience was so rich and rewarding that I'm going to do it again. Fasting isn't just about weight loss. It's about regeneration and healing and self-discovery. And in quieting my physical hunger, I unlocked mental clarity and spiritual revelation. It was a total reset. So when people say, no, this is impossible for Jesus to have done this, well, we've got people doing it today, right now. I don't know what kind of preparation Okung did to lead up to doing a 40-day fast, but I do know that in the places where they do this on a regular basis, they have a preparation period where for about a year up to the time you eventually do a 40-day fast, you start off with a 1-day, and then you do a 3-day, and then you do a 7-day, and then you do a 21-day, and you build up to this because it is unhealthy to simply jump into a 40-day fast. But we have to remember that at the time of Jesus, fasting was a regular part of the worship, and it was something that he did all the time. Probably not for 40 days, but a week or more. Fasting for 7 days was not unusual. Now, I've fasted myself. I've never done a 40-day fast. I've done a 7-day fast, but I've never done a 40-day. But I started off with a 1-day, and then I did a 3-day. And I did that a few times before I eventually did a 7-day fast. So if you're going to do it, you have to prepare. But the reason that we fast is for spiritual purposes, not for weight loss. There are many health benefits to fasting when it's done correctly. But the primary goal to this fasting is to get closer to God. Because when you're hungry and you're fasting and you pray and you focus on God, and you have to deny yourself in order to do that. You have to deny your hunger, deny your desires to focus on God. And every single person I've ever spoken to who has done that has seen excellent results. So then how can we apply all of this today? Well, first of all, we can use fasting as a means to get closer to God. And it doesn't have to be food. You can fast from TV. You can fast from social media. And you can fast on many other things. But whatever it is, you fast from that and you focus on God. The next thing that we can recognize is that Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew that he was going to be experiencing intense spiritual warfare. And how did he prepare? By fasting and praying. And so can we do that same thing. The last thing to remember is that we will be tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. And when we are tempted, we need to focus on putting God first. We can defend against those temptations if our priorities are in the right place. But whatever those temptations are, we have to remember who we are as sons and daughters of Almighty God, and that will help us get through those temptations. But at the end of the day, what we have to focus on overall is putting the mission first. Now, I'm not talking about a corporate mission or a country mission or a military mission. If we put God's mission first, everything else will fall into place the way it's supposed to and how it's supposed to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We thank you for the ability to be able to learn about that and to learn about so many other things that Jesus did and how you acted with humankind throughout the biblical history. And how we can take these things and apply them to our lives today. We ask that you be with us as we are tempted so that we can make the right choice to focus on you and that we can deny those temptations that are unhealthy for us and for our relationship with you or unhealthy for other people. Father, we ask that you help us to recognize when instant gratification is okay and when it's not. We ask that you help us to recognize the spiritual battles that we're facing so that we can prepare for those in the manner in which you would have us do so. And Father, we ask that you just give us the wisdom to be able to not only do these things ourselves, but to be able to share with others how they too may focus on building that relationship with you in the right way. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, running a ministry is not free. There are many costs associated with developing and running programs, and we humbly ask for your support, especially if our messages have touched your heart or you believe they will touch the hearts of other people. We ask that you first pray about how God wants you to proceed, and then, if you feel led, help us focus on building the kingdom of God. If you are a Christian and you are not tithing anywhere, please consider tithing to us, or consider gifting to us, however God leads. Remember, the money you have is God's money that He blessed you with to manage and to be a good steward. The money you tithe and gift to us builds the ministry of Crossroads Christian Fellowship and the International College for Christian Studies. The more financial support we receive, the more people we can reach. You can make this monthly contribution or one-time gift through PayPal by going to donationforchurch.com. You can also find other ways to donate on that webpage. Thank you in advance for your support, and may God bless you.
Friends, I sincerely hope that you are already a follower of Jesus. But if you are not, you need to know that the Bible makes it absolutely clear that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We are all sinners, and we all need Jesus. None of us can do it on our own. When we die, we will either go to heaven or to hell. But the ability to spend eternity in heaven is a free gift from God. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because He loved us so much, Jesus paid the penalty of death for our sins. He paid the price with His own blood, which means that we don't have to. That gift is free, and to receive it, all you have to do is recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Confess your sins to God, repent of your sins, in other words, you have to turn away from them, and turn your life over to Jesus, asking Him and allowing Him to be the Lord of your life. Remember, just because you repent and make Jesus your Lord does not mean you will instantly become perfect. But you do need to strive to model your life after Jesus. There are no magic formulas or special prayers to become a Christian. Just make it known to God. Just tell Him. He knows what's in your heart. Now, if you've made the decision to dedicate your life to Christ, which is often referred to as being born again, or if you've made the decision to rededicate your life to Christ, please let us know. Go to IamSavedByJesus.com and tell us about your decision. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to know if we can help you along the way. If you haven't made that decision yet, please pray about it. And we'll pray for you too if you let us know. This is the most important decision you can ever make in your entire life. It only takes a few seconds to decide, but the ramifications of your choice are literally eternal. Take it seriously. Remember, go to IamSavedByJesus.com, and we look forward to hearing from you. God bless.
Well, it's almost time to go. Thank you for sharing this time with us. We are praying regularly for you and ask that you do the same for us. Until we come together again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Go now into the world and serve the Lord. Amen.